Hi guys, welcome back to Just For Today podcast, where we dive deep into uncomfortable topics with no filters. My name's Adriana, and today is a special day. I don't know if you call it a special day. 2 years ago today is when I received the phone call that changed my life forever. I found out that Eric died March 26, 2023. For those of you that don't know, Eric owned and operated his own moving company. So we were living in California at the time. We had moved there about 2 years, a year and a half prior. One of the main reasons why we did move there was because he wanted a fresh start and he wanted to get away from everyone. That might be a shocker to a lot of people because I feel like a lot of people thought it was my idea to move back to California, which it absolutely was not. It was him, and I supported him. Obviously, my parents lived over there, so we were really close to them, so it was nice. When we first moved over there, we did end up staying with my parents for about a year, and then we got our own house in September of 2022. All right, so let's rewind time a little bit. We moved to California in June of 2021. I was pregnant with Riley. I had just found out I was pregnant. Moved in with my parents. Fast forward to January of 2022. I had Riley. We're still living at my parents. Eric is still owning and operating his moving company. He was doing pretty good for moving everything and starting new. I mean, the reason why he thought California would be good for him was because there's a lot of people in California and a lot of people moving out of California. So he did get quite a lot of out-of-state jobs. Now, I had Riley January 2022, and he started using shortly after. I could tell because there were obvious signs for me. My parents never knew. He never did drugs around any of us, so he never brought any of it like home or inside, I should say. But yeah, there were obvious signs. In July, my parents go out of the country every 4th of July, and the 5th of July happens to be our anniversary. But my parents were out of the country, so, you know, I told him, this is it, like, this is your time. If you want to detox, I'm all in. I will help you. Let's do it. They're not here for a week and a half, 2 weeks. You know, we can get you clean. Long story short, he did it. We got him over that. And this was the first time where Eric also stopped drinking. Every other time when he was in recovery, he still continued to drink, which I think contributes to relapse. So this was the first time that he actually cut everything out, no drugs, no alcohol. He was doing good. We got our own house in September, still doing good. I also drug tested him, like random drug tests every once in a while. So he never knew when it was coming. And obviously if I like gave him a drug test to take and he would fight me on it, that already answered my question that he's not clean. But that only happened maybe like once or twice, and that was in the new year. So fast forward to January. We were struggling a little bit financially because in the moving industry, there's not a lot of moves going on during the holidays. So he had a really good summer, and coming off of, I shouldn't say that high because it's not like a real high, but he's like coming off the high of making so much money during the summer. And, you know, we hit a slow streak and it was normal. I mean, it happened every year. He was stressing. He was really stressed out. I remember 2023, it was New Year's, and I remember he turned to me and he said, 2023, baby, this is our year, because his favorite number was 23. He became, I don't want to say a different person, but he was like so positive. You know, like how people do their New Year's resolutions when the New Year's come up. Well, he like really turned into, I'm not saying he wasn't positive before. I don't know how to explain it, but everything that happened, like nothing could get in his way. Nothing could bring him down. He was so happy. Eric was never a religious person, but every single Sunday starting in 2023, every single Sunday up until he died, we went to church. He randomly, you know, one day was like, I think that we should go back to church. I think it's good for our children. And even if we don't know what we believe in, I think it would be good to set them up for that. So yeah, we started going to church. Emmy loved it. I mean, he told her like, we can never miss a Sunday. And even if he was working, like he would watch like live stream it on his phone while he was at work. So that's how committed he was to going to church. So fast forward, we're in January. I want to say the end of January. And I took Emmy to Disneyland. We had Disneyland passes. I took the other two kids to my mom's house. And on the way to Disneyland, and Emmy and I went to Disneyland, and I get a phone call from Eric. He's supposed to be working, and I get a phone call from him, and he's like, I need you to come home immediately. And I didn't ask questions. I just said, okay, I'm on my way. So I turn around and I head back home, and I get there and I see him, and he's high, and he's crying, and he gives me the foil and the fentanyl pills that he had. And he said, I don't want to do this again. Please take this and flush it down the toilet. Like, I needed you to come back home because I can't get myself to throw this away and flush it down the toilet, but I don't want to go down this path again. Like, please take it from me. So I did. I took it. I flushed it down the toilet. It was a one-time thing. Like I said, I did drug tests, so I knew he was clean after that. And I could just tell by looking at his face when he was high. Like, I just knew. And there was always something in my stomach that just told me something was off. That was in January. He was clean for a few weeks. And then come February, I want to say he had a job. I can't remember if it was the last, I think it was the last weekend of February or first weekend of March. He had a job moving somebody out here to Arizona. He came out here. Something happened before he left where he was just not, like it was, something was off. Like I knew he had, like something just was not right. And every time I would question him about his addiction, it would be a fight. Or if I questioned him if he was high, even if he was, it was still a fight. And if you know, you know. Like, that's just how it is, unfortunately, with them. And we are fighting. I have his location on my phone. I see that he went to his old dealer's house out here, and, you know, he's lying to me and telling me no, that he's, like, with his best friend, Connor, and you guys, I was crazy. Like, I was freaking crazy. Ask any of his friends or any of our friends. Like, I was not the type of person that was like, you're high, okay, like, I'll see you when you get home. It's like, no, I was on his ass 24/7. Like, I remember that day, I was like calling him nonstop. I always wanted to be on the phone with him to see where he was. Like, I remember Connor in the background at one point, like, can we just go eat some fucking pizza? Like, can you tell her you'll call her back later? And I'm like texting Connor and I'm like, he's high. Like, I know he's high. And he's like, no, he's not. He's clean. He's been with me. Like, I even went to the extreme of calling his mom because his mom was living in Arizona. And I was, you know, like, I told her, like, basically, like, I don't know why I was doing all this because I felt useless. So I felt like if I told people that were around him, it would somehow help me. Fast forward, we get in a big fight, and I'm pretty sure he like told Connor like we were getting a divorce and all this stuff. And when he came, I laughed because I know we wouldn't have gotten a divorce, but it like went so far to the point where like I was like, I know you're on drugs. You won't take a drug test. Like, I know you're high. I can see it in your face. Like, I am not gonna be with you. Like, if you can't even tell me the truth. Like, we're not going to be together. He was like, okay, but you, like, you're not going to take the kids away from me. And I was like, I would never take the kids away from you. But if you are on drugs, you're not, like, the custody, it's not just going to work. Like, you're just going to get to see them whenever you want. Like, I don't feel like I can trust the kids around you when you're on drugs, because what if they end up finding it or anything like that? I think at this point, like, I would not have divorced him, but I was trying so hard. Like, I needed an ultimatum, and ultimatums don't fucking work. So yeah, I was like, you need to stop lying to me, get clean, or we're done. Like, we're getting a divorce. It went so far as me telling him, like, call blank, someone we knew that was an attorney, and I was like, and ask him, like, talk to him and tell him that this is happening, and ask him what he thinks about the kids and the situation, but do not forget to mention that you're high and you're doing fentanyl. And he did. I think he called him. He didn't answer. He left a voicemail. But the next day, like, he came back home that night that we got in a fight. He, like, slept in his box truck. That was one of the signs that he was using again, was when he would not come home and he would sleep in his trailer or in his box truck, and he would make up excuses like, I'm too tired or this and that, and he'd be like 20 minutes away. So that was one of the biggest signs when I knew he was high, was when he did not want to come home for me to see him. So he didn't not come home that night. He came home the next morning and he apologized, and he was like, you're right, I don't want to do this anymore, like, I'm high again. Gave me his drugs, I threw it away. We go through this detox. It wasn't a big detox, and I think it was just because he had only been using for like 3 days, because he got the drugs in Arizona, like, when he was out in Arizona for the job, and then he came back like the Sunday, and then Monday is when he gave me the rest of it. So it wasn't like a really big detox. I mean, any detox sucks. Suck if you know that, you know, anything, it's all bad. And then the weekend after that, or 2 weekends after that, we came back out to Arizona because it was my nephew's first birthday. So my cousin was having a party for him. We always go to all the nieces and nephews' birthday parties. So we drove out here to Arizona, and it was honestly one of the best trips we ever had. Like, with the kids and with each other, it was a great trip. Like, it was so good. The kids did so good. Like, minimal tantrums. I remember we were talking about it on the way home, like, oh my god, this was good. Like, this was a good one. Everyone behaved. There was nothing crazy. And the craziest part is that on the way here, we hit traffic. It usually took us 5 hours to get to Arizona. It took us 8.5 hours to get here because there was so much traffic in California, and one of the freeways closed off because there was like a major accident right in front of us where someone unfortunately died. So they had to close that, and they were like, it doesn't matter. Anyways, it took us 8.5 hours to get here, and the kids were so perfect. Like, it was just a perfect weekend. So we do that. We're out here. Oddly enough, like, my entire family came out here. I mean, I have a really big family, and we have a lot of kids in our family, and we're throwing around birthdays like confetti over here. So people don't make it to all the birthday parties. Like, I'm saying aunts, uncles, cousins, like, everyone. And everyone made it that weekend, which was nice. But I also, like, can't help but think that, I don't know, your body, not your body, like, these things, the universe knows these things are going to happen to you, so it prepares you. Like, the whole church thing, you know, like, he would literally read Bible verses every single day. And Eric was never, like, a man of God, like, even before that. I'm not saying he wasn't a good man. He was a really good man, but he never believed in that stuff. He was kind of a little bit more of, like, just kind of, like, a free spirit, didn't really care. Like, he was just a free spirit. He loved a good time. He was, you know, that was just Eric. Wasn't really ever religious. But yeah, the whole church thing, going to church, like every single Saturday, reading Bible verses. He bought a Bible, like started reading the Bible every night. And then we come out here the weekend before he died, and everyone's here. And it was really weird, and I'm gonna feel crazy. Like, you guys are gonna think I'm crazy. And I think I've only told a couple people this, probably because I know how crazy it sounds. But we were, the day after the birthday party, we were at my cousin's house. And again, all of us were there. Aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews, everyone. And we're eating breakfast before everyone was getting ready to leave town. And I am standing in the back, like the back of the house, basically the back wall, and I'm like overlooking the kitchen and the living room where everyone's sitting. And we haven't had a death in our family since my grandpa died, and that was in 2011. And I just remember standing there, and I heard a voice say, "Someone's gonna die." I know that sounds fucking crazy, and you're probably thinking, like, you're making this up, but I swear I'm not making it up. I even told Eric on the way home. I was like, the weirdest thing happened to me. Like, I was standing here, and I was looking at everyone. It was like kind of like a scene from a movie where, like, it goes, like, in slow motion, and everything is, like, tuned out, and I just heard a voice, and it was a man voice, and it said, "Somebody's gonna die." And he went off to tell me who he thought it was, which obviously it wasn't, but he didn't think I was crazy. Like, he totally believed me. And I'm like, how crazy is, like, I told no one but him. And then literally 7 days later, he's dead. Like, how crazy is that? Like, it's just weird. So anyways, we go back home, and he's doing good again, drug testing him every once in a while, and they were clean. So we were doing good. And he was doing a lot better with his stress, because he had gotten a few back-to-back jobs. So we're at the end of March. So this is kind of when moving season picks up a little bit. Now, he had quite a few jobs lined up back-to-back. He had a job moving someone from California to Arizona. And then when he came back, he had another job from California to Arizona. And then he had a job from California to Texas. And he had one more after that out of state. So it was basically the whole month of, like, the end of March and April was completely booked. And he was only going to be home like a few days out of the month, because it was like just going to be come home, rest for a day, load the next day, leave to the next date. Friday, March 24th. He came home that night. We slept together. Like, we went to sleep. We woke up. Emmy was in our bed. And she's like, "I don't want you to go to work, Daddy." And he's like, "I know, sweetie, but I'll be back tomorrow, I promise. I will just drop everything off and I'll come straight home. Like, I'm not gonna stay there for an extra day. I'll see you tomorrow." And when I tell you, those two were like attached. Like, Emmy and Eric were, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Like, they were so close, like daddy's girl to the freaking core. She'll even tell you, like, everything about that morning. She'll tell you that Eric said he'd be back the next day. She'll tell you that he left and where she was when he gave her a kiss. She'll tell you that he came back because he forgot something, and all the stuff. Like, she knows the last time she saw her dad. So Saturday morning, they go to Orange County to load this house. And I decided to go to my mom's house, because whenever Eric was out of town, I usually just went to my parents' house so they could help me with the kids. And so we weren't alone. They lived like 45 minutes from us. So I went over to their house, and it's around like 4 o'clock, and Eric calls my mom's phone. And my mom's like, oh, Eric's calling me. Like, did he try to call you? And I was like, no. So I just like took the phone and I answered it. And he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, just hanging out at my mom's. Like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I was just calling your mom because I wanted to ask her if I could come drop some stuff off before I left. Now, having a moving, like a big box truck, you have to stop at all the way stations, like wherever you're driving to, you have to stop at the way stations and your truck can't be over a certain weight. And he had gone to weigh his truck at a gas station and he was a little bit overweight, so he had to drop some stuff off at my mom's house so he could continue on and go. So I was like, yeah, just, you can come. Like, we'll be here. We're not like, we're going to be here. And he was like, okay. And so he gets there, tells me he's there. I go through the garage. I unlock the garage door and literally the garage is going up and I see his face. As soon as I see his face, I just looked at him and I was like, are you serious? You're high. And he was like, I'm not high. Like, I'm not doing this with you right now, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm tired and I've been working all day. And, you know, for whatever reason, I said, okay, you know, like, whatever, let's not fight about it. Let me just help you unload these things from the truck. Like, I just didn't want to fight at that moment. My mom comes out and my mom's like, do you want food? Like, she makes him food to go. And I remember he said, don't tell the kids I'm here because I don't want to say goodbye again. So I didn't. We said our goodbyes, gave kisses, I love yous were the last words we said to each other. So he said he was going to drive about halfway. So he drove to Quartzsite. Or usually when he gets to his destination, he'll like take a shower, get in bed, and then call me. And he did not. He did not call me that night. And I remember looking at the clock and it was 11:23. And I just had this weird feeling, like something just came to me and was like a icky feeling. And I checked his location and he's at this hotel or motel. And I didn't want to call him. Like, I just didn't want to. I don't know if like something in me knew something was wrong and I didn't want to deal with it at the time. I don't know. But also he had just reposted a reel that I had posted on my Instagram. He reposted it on his story like 20, 30 minutes before that. So, you know, like in my head, I'm trying to tell myself everything's okay. Like, even though I have this feeling that shit's not okay, like something's wrong, I was just like, okay, let's go to bed. And, you know, I wake up the next morning and I felt so sick to my stomach. Like, I didn't feel good. Check my phone, no missed calls, no text messages from Eric. And I checked his location again. And it said he was still at the hotel. And I think I woke up at like 8:30 or 9. So Eric was a really super early riser, especially when he was working these jobs. He would like be gone out of the hotel by like 7, back on the road, 7 a.m. And, you know, in my head, I'm just like, maybe he slept in. Keep calling, no answer. And again, like, I know something's wrong and I just kind of ignore it because I feel like I'm not wanting to actually deal with this right now. You know, maybe I'm like going crazy. Time goes on, I'm still calling him, he doesn't answer me, and I start calling the hotel and nobody answers. I think I started calling the hotel around like 11. No one answered me. Still checking his location. It's still there. I'm like, maybe he just left his phone. Like, you know, like he's probably there already. And I knew that he was going to meet up with Connor, his best friend. So I text him and I said, have you heard from Eric today? Or is he with you? And he said, I can't remember exactly what he said, but basically like, no, he's not here, or he hasn't. Like, I haven't heard from him today. And I responded to him and I said, I think he overdosed. And he texted me back and he said, don't say that. I mean, that's always been my biggest fear. Like my biggest fear with him. I can't even tell you how many times we had that conversation of like, I am so scared that you are just not going to come home one day, or like one day I'm going to find you like in the bathroom, or, you know, just like dead. Like it was always a fear of mine. And he was always so quick to tell me like, that will never happen, obviously. 'Cause you don't plan that to happen. Didn't respond back to Connor, and I do something else with the kids to distract myself. And I'm like calling the hotel still. No one's answering me. I go outside for a little bit, hang out with the kids, and it's time for them to take a nap. And my mom was like, do you want to go to the store? Like, do you want to go shopping when we put the kids down for a nap? And I was like, yeah, sure. I put the kids down for a nap. I go upstairs and I'm like, let me just try the hotel one more time. I go upstairs, I call the hotel, and she answered me. And I was like, hi, what time is your checkout? And immediately she's like, are you calling for Eric Sansom? And I was like, yes. And she's like, well, checkout was at whatever time. He didn't check out. So I think she said checkout was at 10:30. He didn't check out. So he went to his room at like 11:45. We banged on the door and no one answered. And we tried to open it and the deadbolt was on. We just left him there and charged him another night. When I tell you, I was shocked. Like, I was pissed. Thankfully, she was not in front of me because I probably would have fought her. I was so fucking angry. I immediately started yelling at her. I was so pissed. And I was like, why the fuck would you charge him another night when you're banging on the door and nobody's answering you? I was like, you have to call the police right now. You have to find a way to get in there. He's probably dead. He's an addict. He probably overdosed. And this lady has the nerve to tell me, oh my gosh, I wish you would have called sooner. I literally yelled in the phone. I'm like, I've been trying to call you guys for 4 fucking hours. And she like hung up. At this point, I'm like downstairs. While I'm on the phone having this conversation, I'm like running out of my parents' house. Like I go to the garage. I'm like, I open the garage door. I'm like running out. And my parents are in the living room with Emmy and they're like, what the fuck? So they just like come and follow me into the garage and they're like, what happened? Who are you talking about? Like, what's going on? Who's dead? And I'm like, Eric is dead. Like, and I don't even know at that point what I was saying. Everything is a blur, but my parents were shocked. They were like, what do you mean he's like an addict? My dad's trying to calm me down. My mom's kind of asking questions because she's like, what are you talking about? Like this, like, I mean, I'm sure she was shocked. And I'm just like going crazy and I'm like yelling and I'm like, he's dead. Like, and then I look up and Emmy's standing at the door and I was like, okay, this, like, I, like, get your shit together, man. Like, you can't be doing this. And my mom took Emmy inside and I called the hotel back and I'm like, have you gotten in there? Like, what's happening? I mean, I'm sure it was like minutes, but it literally felt like a fucking lifetime. I am calling her and she takes my information and she's like, we called the police. They're coming. We'll give them your information and they'll call you. So I'm standing outside of my parents' house with my dad for what feels like forever. And during this time, I also called his mom and I told her basically everything that I knew. Then we get a phone call. It was the officer. My dad answered. And then eventually I get the phone and she's like, is this Eric's wife? And I'm like, yes. I just start going. I'm like, are you with him? She's like, yes. And I'm like, where is he? Like, what is he doing? Is he alive? Like, is he on the bed? I think I asked a series of like a million questions and I wasn't giving her space to answer. She's like, not answering me. And I'm like, is he dead? Like yelling, I'm like, is he dead? And you just wait. It's quiet. Felt like forever. It was probably a second. And she says, yes, ma'am, he is deceased. I melted, literally melted in my dad's hands. I said, I have 3 kids. What the fuck am I supposed to do? You could hear her kind of crying on the phone. And then I think I hung up on her. I called Connor, his best friend, and I called his mom. I told his mom. And then I called the officer. She calls me. I don't know, honestly. It's a blur. And I'm like asking more questions, like, what happened? Like, where was he? What's going on? I was like, I'm on my way. Like, I am in California. It'll take me about an hour and a half to get there, but I am on my way. And she was like, no, like, don't worry about it. Just don't waste your time coming out here, because you're not going to be able to see him, like, the funeral home or whatever. They're coming to take him, and he's going to go get an autopsy and blah, blah, blah. So basically, like, I just have to get with the funeral home after, because they'll have him, and then I'll know where to go and where to be able to see him. But basically saying I won't be able to see him right away because he has to go get an autopsy. That day sucked, man. Like, I was so numb, but also felt all the things. Like, my worst fears came true. My sister came over. I'm guessing my dad called them. My sister and her fiance came over. I just remember, like, I mean, the kids, they were so little. Like, Riley was 14 months, Jax was 2.5, Emmy was 4.5. They were so excited, you know, that their aunt and uncle were there, and they just wanted to play outside and they wanted to do all this. And I just remember, like, I had to be okay. So there was, like, moments where I'm, like, outside, like, playing with them, laughing, and then it just, like, comes back in my mind and I have to, like, run inside and cry because, like, what the fuck is my life? And Emmy, she's very smart. She's always been very in tune with, like, her emotions, and she just knows things. Like, she is really, really emotionally intelligent. And, like, Eric and I would always say that. She's so mature for her age. She just knows. And obviously, I think she heard me, like, yell, "He's dead." And she's probably like, what is she talking about? Like, what's going on? And so she would not leave my side. She would not leave my side. And when I had to cry, like, I had to go. Like, say I had to go to the bathroom or something. I remember at one point she's, like, sitting on my lap and we're, like, laughing about something, and she turns to me and she's like, "Mommy, is Daddy hurt?" And I was like, "No, baby, no, Daddy's fine. Like, why would you say that? Like, why would you think that?" And she was like, "Okay, so he's coming home tomorrow." And I'm like, "Yeah." I lied straight to her face, and that still kills me till this day, especially with how open I am with my children. And I try not to get on myself so much because he just died. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. And that was, like, one of the things I told my dad too when we were outside. I was like, how am I supposed to tell my children this? Like, I can't tell them. Like, what am I supposed to say? Like, how does this in any life make sense? Like, what is my life? So yeah, I didn't tell the kids anything that day. I was just still very much in shock and didn't believe it because I had just seen him the night before. You know, like, in my mind, he's still alive. Like, I just did not believe it because, like, it was one of those things I have to see it to believe it. So yeah, that is basically how March 26th, 2023 went. Shittiest day of my life. I don't know, actually, that whole week following it was pretty freaking shitty. Yeah, so that was that day. Didn't sleep at all. I remember I, like, took some of my dad's melatonin, and I took, like, 7 or 8 of them, and it didn't fucking, nothing worked. The next morning, we had planned to go to the hotel to, like, pick up the box truck and grab his things and all that, you know, because the move still has to be done. So my dad and my brother drive out there with me. And one thing I will say is I have the absolute best family ever. Most supportive family. If you need anything, they will drop it all and help you. Like, they were there for me whenever, like, for, you know, not just the days following, but still. So yeah, my dad and my brother are with me. And then my aunt and my uncle meet us at the hotel because we needed someone to drive the box truck, and my uncle was kind of familiar with those. So yeah, they come out to the hotel. I remember telling my dad, like, I have to go in and, like, talk to them. Like, I so badly wanted to talk to the lady that I talked to on the phone. Like, I was pissed. Like, I was ready to fight someone. And my dad was like, you don't have to do that right now. I was like, oh, no. Like, I have to do that. Like, I'm going in there. And he was like, okay, go with her. He was, like, telling my brother to go with me. Long story short, she was not there. And the lady that was there ended up telling me that the front desk person that was there the day before that told me I should have called sooner. It was her first day. It's like, great. And I hope it was her last because, ugh. Anyways, so yeah, she wasn't there. I asked them to like refund his money. I mean, whatever, didn't matter. But I asked them to like print me out like his papers and stuff. So I had like his signature and when he checked in and all this stuff. So I'm pretty sure he died on Saturday the 25th as soon as they got there. Yeah, they didn't find him, obviously, until that Sunday. There is so much that went on that following week. I remember, like, after we picked up the box truck and all his things, the rest of that drive, because we drove to Arizona to drop the box truck off and to kind of like see what the next steps were to like see his body and all this. And I just remember like after the hotel, I was in the car with my aunt and my brother. Like, I just was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I don't want to be alive. I want to fucking die. Like, I want to die right now. Like, I said that out loud, and my aunt and my brother just start crying. They're like, please don't say that. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, what is this? And that we got to Arizona. We stopped at his best friend's house, Connor, that just, you know, like, it was just a shitty day, shitty week. But yeah, I'll have to go into that another time. Just the days after that and what it was like to see his body and all that stuff. We will save it for another day. Thanks for reliving this nightmare with me. There's no one I'd rather relive it with than all of you guys. Don't forget to give your loved ones an extra hug and a kiss tonight. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I'll see you guys next time. And don't forget, just for today, keep going.